for all, the Global Voice.
Jackson, come. Jackson, come. Good boy. Sit. Sit. Good boy. Down. Good boy. And stay. How about you? Can you sit down and stay for the next 30 minutes? I'm Devon from Canada, and this is Spotlight on Assistance Dogs. Hello there, and welcome to the April 2023 edition of Spotlight on Assistance Dogs. You may have heard me mention on previous programs that I'm always looking for songs about dogs. And John Morris, who is a friend and neighbor of mine, heard my request and sent me a song from 1947 by Red Foley called A Man and His Dog. And I think it's particularly appropriate for this program.
There they go, side by side, every step filled with pride. It's a wonderful sight to behold. Just a man and his dog, I see you, my dog. For more precious than silver and gold. Now a spotlight turns red, but the dog turns his head, and together they wait for the green. Just a man and his dog, I see you, my dog. Surely God must be there in between. Today I watched a blind man on a busy thoroughfare, and I bowed my head in reverence, for I know that God was there. His step was light and springy, and his head was high and proud, as he clutched the faithful dog that led him safely through the crowd. They paused on every corner where the light was turning red, and I marveled at the dog who gave the cue to go ahead. I shuddered as I thought of all the dangers that was near, but their manner was determined and they showed no trace of fear. No, I didn't see a halo, but I know that it was there, for I'm sure that God was walking between that noble pair. There they go, side by side, every eye opens wide. Sheep and shepherd are far from the fold. Just a man and his dog, I see you, my dog. Heaven's blessings are truly untold. Now a taxi cries out, and the crowd turns about, but the dog has control of the scene. Just a man and his dog, I see you, my dog. Surely God must be there in between.
You may have noticed at the beginning of the program that I used a different dog's name this time. At the very end of 2022, my guide dog Frankie took sick and was subsequently diagnosed with a vicious blood cancer called lymphoma. And on January 20th, he had to be humanely euthanized. In April of this year, which is much sooner, or was much sooner than I thought it would be, I had the opportunity, thanks to Canadian Guide Dogs for the Blind near Ottawa, to train with my fifth guide dog named Jackson. He's a Black Lab Golden Retriever cross who was a holdback from the early part of the COVID-19 pandemic when the school had to close for a few months. And I've just now finished my training with him. And he's 4 years old. The trainer who brought him to me is originally from Germany and is here on a 3-year working visa. She thinks she just might stay here in Canada, but she and I had the opportunity on the second to last day that she was here to sit and chat about the similarities and the differences in training between Germany and Canada. So I'm so glad that I had that opportunity, and here's that interview for you now. Well, hi there, Nadia, and welcome to the program.
Hi. I'm lucky. I'm happy to be here.
Is there a city that you come from that would be familiar to other people listening? Like Bonn or Berlin or...
Oh, yeah, probably.
I mean that where you're from.
Oh, right in the middle from Germany. It calls Thuringia, and it's close to Erfurt. It's the old East Germany.
Okay. Yeah. So how did you become interested in guide dog training?
Oh, this is a really good question. But I grew up with dogs, and my family had always dogs and breed dogs. And yeah, then the wish came to work also and with dogs. And in the area where I lived in Germany, there are a couple of guide dog schools, mm-hmm. because they are there was the center from the old GGR. And now there are a couple of trainers, they are self-employed. And then I was interested in the job with the guide dogs.
Uh-huh. So when you say self-employed, would that mean that the client would pay for the training themselves?
No. In Germany, the health insurance is paid the guide dogs.
Okay.
And also the equipment and also the veterinarian bills, because the health insurance owned the guide dogs.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. The health insurance as opposed to the various schools that there are. Is that right?
Yes, that's all right. Yeah.
How many schools would there be in Germany?
It's hard to say and hard to count, but we have around 100 schools in Germany, and it is a really small country. It's just the half size of Ontario. But a lot of one men or woman schools, they train a couple of dogs a year, three to four dogs a year. But now the quality got up, and I think some guide dog schools probably will close.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
But we have around 5 to 10 guide dog schools. They are over 20 years in Germany, and I hope they will survive.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you started in Germany to train guide dogs, did you?
Yes, and I did my apprenticeship also in Germany, with the quality and with the from the IGDF.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And now here an apprenticeship is 3 years. What is it in Germany?
It's also 3 years, but there are some different, it's similar to Canadian Guide Dogs for the Blind. you have to be 5 years experience, so 3 years apprenticeship and 2 years experience as a GDMI, guide dog mobility instructor, and you had to get out 10 successful teams.
Oh, okay. Yeah, interesting. So how long were you training? Training people in Germany?
Yeah, I started really young and I trained for 16 years guide dogs in Germany.
Okay.
Yes.
And then where else did you go?
Oh, this was just, I worked for just one guide dog school and now the second is Canadian Guide Dogs for the Blind.
Okay.
But we was always open-minded and visit a lot of schools around the world.
Oh, yes.
And also some, because of the IGDF, it's make it easy to get in touch with other guide dog schools.
Right.
And also we want to keep our standard, or kept our standard really high, and that's why we visit also around the world other guide dog schools, and also some European guide dog schools visit us and trained with us dogs and look how our system is working.
Okay. First of all, let me ask you, have you noticed any major differences in training from Germany to Canada?
Thank God not. I'm happy that the quality and the standard is so high than in Germany with Canadian Guide Dogs for the Blind. We have also the same amount of training for the dogs, and also the trainer have the freedom to give the dogs enough time to get used to this pretty hard job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do they use any other breeds in Germany as opposed to what we use here?
Not anymore. We did a lot of experiments with exotic dog breeds.
Uh-huh.
It was always interesting, but too much trouble.
Yeah.
Because the Labrador is just, I think, all over the world, the best breed for this job.
Yes. And Goldens?
We didn't had so much Goldens because we didn't have our own breeding program.
Oh, okay.
And it was hard to find a good Golden breeder. And that's why we didn't have so many Goldens. But we had some flat-coated retriever from the family, the retrievers, and also some standard poodles, but this was the most in the last years what we use the most.
Oh yes,
yeah.
They seem to be kind of not using poodles all that often anymore here. How about in Germany?
It's pretty similar.
Yeah.
But for people they are allergic or maybe work in a clinic because they don't shed and don't lose hairs.
Yes.
Then we give these clients, and if they are, I won't say good enough, but if the lifestyle fits poodle lifestyle, because poodle are a little bit special and need a little bit more attention than labs and
yes.
Golden retriever.
Yes.
Not just for the grooming and all the stuff, because they have her own personality, and if this all circumstances are good, then we also train poodles for the clients.
Okay. Now, what about around the world? Have you noticed some, strange ways to train a guide dog in various other countries that you've been in?
You mean how they train the dogs?
Yes.
Yeah, it's in some countries pretty different, and it's also sometimes not to. Then the client is not in the focus. It's more the dog, and I think this is the wrong way around. And not all countries have this high standard to train guide dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How is accessibility for guide dogs in Germany as compared to, say, Canada?
Mm.
Do you have trouble with restaurants and
With restaurants not too much, and groceries are also pretty good, and they have also the whole management from or the management from the biggest or bigger grocery stores, or they teach her stuff really well. But sometimes, yeah, I think it's here the same. To enter a taxi is sometimes a big issue.
Yes.
To some doctors or clinics are not, and you mean they know better, right?
Uh-huh.
But then they don't give the clients access to a clinic or to a doctor. But hopefully it's getting better.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just like here.
Yeah, I hear this too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe other countries that you've been to, their access laws aren't as good as Germany's or ours?
Oh, pretty similar.
Yeah.
Pretty similar, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about here, for example, we have a lot of difficulties with people trying to pass their dogs off, their pet dogs off as guide or service dogs. Did you find the same thing in Germany?
It comes, and it is a big thing now that every dog is an emotional support dog.
Mm-hmm.
And is a service dog, and we don't have clear rules from the government what is a service dog and what is a pet dog.
Ah, yeah.
But we are luckily still in Germany, because the guide dog have a long history over there, and everybody knows what is a guide dog.
And oh, yeah.
The guide dog user have less trouble to fight if it's a real one or is it just a fake one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Maybe service dogs aren't quite as well known as guide dogs.
Yes, I would say this, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the argument that service dog users get here is, well, you're not blind, you don't need a dog.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, this is not really nice.
No, definitely not. Are there other issues that people run into in Germany that are either similar or different than here?
But I think this is all over the world.
Yeah.
That pet dogs are out of control on the street and attack our guide dogs.
Oh.
Often aggressive, but even if it's not aggressive, they are really disturbed in her work and can do her work really proper, because they are always distracted and get attacked. And this, I think this is the biggest issue what we have.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. And, a blind person can react when he's right in the middle of the situation and don't know before. And maybe he can say, move away, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that can be pretty dangerous.
Yes.
If that were to happen, and especially in the middle of the street, it wouldn't be good.
Oh, definitely, yes.
And is the training period similar, comparatively speaking, for both countries?
I don't know about all Canadian guide dog schools, mm-hmm. but I can speak for Canadian guide dogs for the blind. We have the same training period. And we have also, if we need a little bit more time for a dog, we can communicate this.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
It's nice to have some flexibility.
Of course, and mm-hmm. we work with live animals. And
yeah.
There is not always a schedule what we can keep going like this.
Right.
Yes.
So if a dog becomes, a guide dog becomes sick in Germany, if the health system is paying for it, do they pay for vet bills, or how does that work?
Yes, they pay for vet bills, mm-hmm. and they pay also for the food every month.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a nice system, because you don't have to think about if I'm financial okay to take care of a dog.
Yes.
And this is also the idea behind. But they have to also pay all this stuff, because they are the owner from the dog. And then the German government say, oh, then you have to take care of also of this.
Yes.
And you have to pay, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But soon, if the dog is retired, then wherever this dog goes, then the guide dog user or the family who take care of him have to pay the the vet bills and all this around.
So when someone applies for a guide dog there, would they choose their own school, or do they have to go through some government official to find out whether it's okay to apply?
I think that's typical for Germany. It's not that easy. We have also a lot of health insurance, not just one. And it's up to in which kind of health insurance you are. And some health insurance have contracts with a couple of guide dog schools.
Okay.
And then you have to go there. But you have, most of the time, you can choose between five guide dog schools.
Oh.
Or your health insurance give you the freedom and say, okay, you can go wherever you want.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And now here, you might have to wait up to a year to get in, or maybe, 18 months or whatever. How about in Germany?
Yeah. In my previous school, it was the waiting list between 2 and 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's quite a time.
Yeah.
So now you've been here in Canada, what, a year?
A year, yes. Just a year.
And
Yeah.
You definitely can speak much better English than I can speak German.
Thank you, Devin. That's so kind from you.
And what are your future plans? Are you planning to stay here, or?
Oh, yes, I think so. I feel pretty well. But, you never know. But in the moment and for now, I think I want to stay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
And I want to match and see more clients, more Canadian clients.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's great. So have you seen a fair bit of Canada already?
Already. I was a little bit traveling from work and also in my free time. And I really enjoy it here, and I think I have to stay a little bit longer, because there's a lot to see.
Yes, yeah. Oh, well, that's good. Well, I'm glad our first Canadian winter wasn't too harsh for you.
And even this winter I enjoyed.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. You were telling me a while ago that German winters are usually much harsher than...
It's just miserable. It's more like in the UK. It's really wet, and it's really muddy outside, and it's just not enjoyable.
Yeah.
And I enjoy the snow. Sometimes I was complaining about shoveling the snow, but I got over this.
Oh, well, that's good.
But now I feel very well here.
Yeah, good. Now, I know that in the worst weather, Canadian guide dog schools sometimes don't train when the weather is really bad. How about in Germany?
Keep going also with training here in Canada. If you have a winter storm,
yeah.
We have a really nice kennel, and we can train in the middle of the kennel with some obstacle courses and... do some blindfolds over there, and can train obedience, and also can meet with our colleagues and train destruction training, food destruction, dog destruction, toy destruction, and we are pretty lucky that we have such a nice facility and can train there inside. And in Germany, when the weather was really bad, you know, the Germans always keep going. Then we are looking for for a place what suits us good for training.
Yes.
That means maybe in a mall or in a grocery store.
Yeah.
Or also we did some obedience at the center or grooming in, or paperwork, all the stuff who maybe we don't pay too much attention when the weather is nice and we can train outside.
Yes.
Yeah.
There is always something you can do.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially with animals.
Yes. Yeah. Well, thanks very much for chatting with me, and this seems like a good spot to chat, seeing that the radio station is so global in nature, and it's nice to get a perspective from someone who is from another country. So thank you very much for doing this.
Thank you so much. I enjoy it. Thank you.
I've got a Speedy and I go to see her every night. And I'd like nothing better to kiss and hold her tight. But I never get to do it, we're always chaperoned. She got a bodyguard that just won't leave us alone. With his tail a-wagging and his tongue a-hanging out, he growls to warn me if there were any doubt. He's there to protect her and nothing's gonna make him leave her. That lap-loving, leg-lapping, large, lumpy Labrador Retriever. I'd like to hug and kiss her, but I know I'm just out of luck. She says that daddy has had that dog since he was a pup. And he trained him to attack anyone that lays a hand on his child. And just sitting here thinking about it almost drives me wild. With his tail a-wagging and his tongue. If there were any doubt, he's there to protect her and nothing's gonna make him leave her. That lap-loving, leg-lapping, large, lumpy Labrador Retriever. Now I'm gonna get my nerve up and do what my heart says is right. I'm gonna throw my arms around her and kiss her with all my might. Already I can see the headlines, how my life was erased. Dog kills man, but he dies with a smile on his face. With his tail a-wagging and his tongue hanging out, he growls to warn me if I had any doubt. Protect her and nothing's gonna make him leave her. That lap-loving, leg-lapping, large, lumpy Labrador Retriever. That lap-loving, leg-lapping, large, lumpy Labrador Retriever.
That's just about going to do it for this edition of Spotlight on Assistance Dogs. I do hope that you'll be able to join me on the third Friday of May. Thanks so much for listening, and have yourself a good month. Bye for now.
For an hour of classical music from around the globe, it's the Global Classical Hour with me, Sean Klein, at 0 hours UTC on Sunday, Saturday evening for those of you listening in the Americas. You'll hear classical music from the United States, Europe, and Russia, but also from Latin America, the Middle East, the Orient, and more. And I'll have classical music through the ages, from the music of ancient Greece and early music to avant-garde and electric guitar concertos. That's the Global Classical Hour at 0 hours UTC on Sundays. only on The Global Voice.
No matter your flavor, you found it. The Global Voice. Radio for all.